You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You're listening to The Happy Hour on RNIB Connect Radio. And today we are going to be joined by someone special. Rimpal Raja is a podcaster and a mum of two teens who is also going through her own sight loss journey. And recently she has started her own podcast called Unseen Adventures, and she hopes it will inspire some positivity into people's lives and perhaps start a nice conversation about different things that can help you through your sight loss. And Rimpal joins us on the show now. It is lovely having you on the Happy Hour today.
Hi.
So lovely to have you. And you have a wonderful podcast. But before we go into any of that, can you tell us a little bit about your sight condition? Because it's quite unique.
Yeah, so it's a very rare condition. It's crystalline dystrophy, which is hereditary. So I was actually born with it. I had these fatty crystals on my retina, and over time, it's been sort of breaking down the rods and cones and taking away vision and bits of vision. So my vision now is incredibly grainy, and it's almost like snow vision. And I have got sight in the bits that are there. So I'm sort of trying to look through that when I'm looking at the world. Yeah, it's very hard. I sort of came about 10 to 13 years ago. Nighttime vision was first, and I noticed black spots, and then suddenly, you know, everything felt a lot darker than normal. And then about 5 years ago, I started losing my daytime and everything started becoming a little bit grainy. I first noticed at the bottom of my vision and then at the top of my vision. And now it's unfortunately all over my vision. There's a number of people around the world that has this vision loss. And I'm very lucky to have met quite a few of them. And we sort of try and talk every month and support each other. But currently there's no cure, but they are looking at options like gene therapy to try and to help. But unfortunately, it won't solve the problem, because it is a hereditary problem and a chromosomal issue that, you know, once they correct it, it will only correct the sight you have. So if you've lost the sight, it's gone forever.
Were you aware that you have this condition since you were a child, or did that come through later when you started seeing those changes in your vision?
No, I led a completely normal life. I, you know, did everything normal. I used to drive, you know, I drove for 20 years, actually. I had to stop because I just did not feel comfortable. And I did everything. I, you know, traveled everywhere. I was incredibly capable. I was working, you know, in an IT company. So, you know, on screens all day long, you know, leading a very normal life, which is lucky for my kids, because when they were young, I could actually drive them to school and do normal things. But the last 5 to 10 years, it's been a lot harder, but they're a lot older now and they can help me.
How did you find when you first got the diagnosis? I mean, it must have been come as quite a shock.
I guess at the time, I didn't really take it in, because, you know, life's busy with young kids. You know, they were toddlers at the time. And I did feel emotional about it, I remember. But I also felt like I can see right now. So, you know, you almost, you know, put it to the back in your mind and think, you know, there's not a problem now, so I'll be okay. And I think that's probably the way that I've taken the journey with this is, you know, things have gone slowly. I've lost bits of vision at a time. So I've adapted, you know, as I've gone along. And I think if I'd known I'd be looking at the world like I am now, then I probably would have just shut myself off and, you know, hid away from the world. But the positive thing was that I lost it slowly, so I was able to change my world accordingly.
And that's the thing, because following your social media channels and your podcast, you're still doing the things you love. I think we were chatting a little bit before the interview, and you're still cooking and baking, and I think you still love to travel, and you're still trying to keep up your passions.
No, definitely. And I think it's about also, I'm a mother. I want to try and, you know, show my children that you don't give up whatever obstacle. Life throws you so many different obstacles. And if you sort of, you know, shut down on, you know, every little thing, you'll never get anywhere in life. You know, I'm hoping to be example to them and show that, you know, I'm still strong. I'm still okay. You can do anything if you put your mind to it. Up until this year, you know, I don't think I will next year, but I was skiing And I love skiing, and I obviously started when I had vision, and I, you know, I'm a very competent skier. And you know, unfortunately this year vision was just a little bit too bad, where I actually did the slopes and I follow my kids with bright helmets, and I actually have learnt to ski feeling the snow rather than actually looking where I'm going. And they came to a point where I was trying to be safe for someone else, and I unfortunately, you know, messed myself up and I fell and had an accident. So I will say I want to try again, but the recovery was too long to, you know, have to do that again, if that makes sense.
No, it does. And perhaps you might need a bit of time, but it's a big challenge to overcome. And it's, as much as it's a physical challenge, it's a mental challenge.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's going to independence and trying to ask for people for help. I mean, I was actually at that point skiing with the family, and I'd sort of told the guide I didn't really need him, because I was like, I know these slopes, it's all okay. And, you know, maybe I should have kept the guide on a little bit longer. But it was also, there was a crazy skier that came behind me. It was on a blue slope. I'd done the black slopes perfectly without a problem. Sometimes, you know, you don't know who else is on the slopes, unfortunately.
No, I guess that's the thing. Your safety doesn't depend just on your own decisions, but also everyone else around you.
Exactly.
I would love to hear a little bit about a passion that you have, which is a little bit for sport, I believe. Do you lift weights? Is that correct to say as well?
Yeah, no, I do. I love the gym. It is to do with my disease. It is incredibly rare. And apparently I have these crystals in my blood as well. And it means that I don't burn fat very quickly. Even if you saw me, you probably wouldn't say so, but I have to work very hard to keep my cholesterol down. I'm on statins, and going to the gym makes me feel so much better, because I get to move my body and actually feel better afterwards. And lifting weights is something that, I guess, in my mind, you know, midlife is coming, you know, you should lift more weights to gain more muscle, because then when you, obviously, you know, older you get, you start losing muscle. So you're trying to keep as much muscle on you as possible. So I love doing that. And I, you know, started about 2 years ago lifting very heavy weights, obviously with support. You know, I don't go in there and do it on my own, because I just probably bang into something. And I've got a great personal trainer who's very good looking, and my husband started coming to the gym with me at the same time. But not that I can see him, but he's very good at taking me around all the different weight stations, making sure I'm safe. I'm sure the other women in the gym thinking she's doing this on purpose, you know, just because she's, you know, got her arm around a great looking guy. but it does mean that I, you know, I come out of there feeling, wow, you know, feeling stronger.
It sounds amazing. And I have to ask a follow-up question, which is, what's your personal best when it comes to, like, do you do overhead lifts? Do you do bench presses? Like, what are we talking here with weights?
Yeah, so, I mean, the chest press, I have done up to about 30, 35. 35 is my best. And then the shoulder lift as well, I have done 40 at my best. So, yeah, depends on how good I am that week. And then I do the pull downs, but I can only do the pull down, you know, on a pull up bar. I can do probably about 10 reps of three. And but obviously with a band yet, I'm still not that good to do it without a band.
No, it sounds amazing. And I'm so glad you're like talking about weightlifting, because I know there's a bit of a taboo. Or for years, we always felt like women shouldn't lift weights because, you know, you're going to bulk up. I'm doing quotation marks here as we chat. Reality is, especially as you age, as you said, with muscle loss, it's so important for longevity, for being able to do the things we want to do, when we're even just being able to get up from a couch, a deep couch, when you're in your 70s, you need those muscles. Now, Rumpel, I would love to talk about Unseen Adventures. What inspired you to start the podcast?
What inspired me about doing this podcast was, I've always loved helping people, and whether it's, you know, picking up my nieces and nephews, helping my friends with their kids, or, you know, helping family and friends, especially when I gave up work after the kids. My kids started getting bigger and I needed to do more stuff, so I ended up helping others. And with sight loss, someone sort of said to me, well, you know, you should try and help people with your voice. And I thought, you know, podcasts is probably a great option. I don't think I'm the best public speaker, but I have a story to tell, and I hopefully have some ideas or, you know, ways of trying to get through things and maybe even resonate with people with their journeys and how what they're going through. So I thought if I can even help one person or 10 people, you know, it's more than anything, you know, to me to have been able to help someone. So that's why I started it. And, you know, I've got a great variety of it. You know, my first podcast is talking about myself and my journey, sort of setting the scene of how things have happened and how it's changed. And then my second episode is about travel. I love traveling and going to different places and still continuing making memories with my family. Obviously, it's difficult when we go to a new place and me adjusting to those situations. So I've got some great hacks to try and make life easy for myself, but also for my family so that, you know, they don't feel like, you know, they're having to look after me every 2 minutes when we get to a new place. And then the final episode I've done recently is of my with me and my daughter. And I just wanted to sort of portray what it's like for a child having a mum with a disability and how what her journey's been like. I didn't have to convince her too much. I was quite surprised, but, you know, I did have to do a lot of editing because she can be quite vocal. But, it was really fun to do. And actually, I did feel quite emotional because you never know if you're getting it right, right? You try your best, you try and do whatever. And there's a lot of guilt and, you know, stigma around my eyesight loss and, you know, how much I can do for them and, you know, how much I can do for them in the future. And I there's always guilt. So actually hearing her view and what she thought of the situation was made me feel very emotional. It actually made me feel like, great, I'm doing an okay job. I'm okay. You know, it's going to be okay. We're doing this together.
Was it difficult to actually sit in a moment and have that conversation without getting, I guess, too emotional so you're unable to continue?
No, I did. I did get a little bit emotional, but I had to sort of stop and start because I'd get emotional and then she says something so stupid and she loves bringing, you know, light into it and it's great. So you always feel a bit better after doing anything with her. I think that's what me and my husband have both taught. Then you know that you just have to get on with things and you know whatever happens in life you've just got to look at the better side of it rather than the bad side of it. You know, there's so many things in life that you know obstacles that you get. I mean, I'm still lucky, both my parents are still alive and around to help me. A lot of people can't say that. You know, I've got great kids and, you know, a very supportive husband. Can't imagine going through this journey without them. So I try and live each day grateful rather than sad about, you know, what I'm missing.
Well, I feel like you're such a lovely voice of positivity, but also, you know, perseverance and overcoming challenges. And if we wanted to find your podcast, where can we find it?
So it's on Spotify and it's also on Apple Podcasts. You can either type in my name, Rimpel Raja, or Unseen Adventures, and you'll find it there. And I'm hopefully going to record another one soon. So.
Well, Rimpel, it's been so lovely chatting with you on the Happy Hour, and thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your story.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's I hope I can inspire someone else out there.
For more interviews, features, and shows, go to your favorite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.